Friday the 25th of September, Zion Tishrei, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman. What a bargain.
We all look forward to or enjoy getting a bargain. Many people find it such an attraction that when there is a bargain, they find themselves buying it even though they don't need it. There's something very exciting, getting something for almost for free, or like something that should be £80 and I picked it up for 50. It's good, if you've ever been to the sales and come home with a big bag of shopping, most of which you don't need. You've saved £100 or £200, £300, and somehow it doesn't show up in your bank account, that saving. All you've got is a big debt, and if your wife goes to the sales, forget it. If she comes back with... there's a feeling that I'm getting something, such an opportunity, I don't want to miss it. So Brent Cross and all these places, that they utilize the fact that we all want to get something for nothing. Imagine though that there was something much more than that, something much more free, much more of an opportunity. Imagine that there was a big competition. He said whoever wins this will get a day of free shopping in Brent Cross. Anywhere, anything you want, any store you want, whatever you want, you get a whole day from 7:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night, free shopping. You do your maths. It's impossible for that to happen. It would cost so much, it wouldn't be shared. But imagine that this person is the winner, and he's told he can bring whatever vehicle he wants, and of course he can't bring helpers, but he can pack the car full, and then take it away, and he had prepared, and it's no volume. He's got a whole day to get whatever he wants. That's where Mitzvot Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is the one time a year where the Rebbeinu Shalom gives out Slicha, Mechila, V'chaporo, B'chinom, V'chanoisis, Asher Ochim, Richamtis, Asher Rachim, Aval Pishe'inoi Hogun, Aval Pishe'inoi Kedai. If a person knows how to link into Yom Kippur, he can come away with a bargain Shein Kedugmosi. And when one has that approach, one realizes what it means. You'd be running in. We were running, get bargains, nothing, and one more, and more. If you stop this fellow, you know, it's already 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and you meet him and say, come on, maybe we'll have to take a break, let's have a coffee. He said, sugar, mister. And he said, what do you mean? You've been here since 7:30 in the morning, you've been working hard, you've been schlepping. Take a 15-minute break. He said, you're crazy, I've got an hour and a half, I've got 7:30 and it's all over. If we'd have that approach to Yom Kippur, you come, it's an hour before the end of Yom Kippur, we don't have we don't have time to put our head down to sleep, to rest. The shahl is how you have time to sleep, Yom Kippur. It's firm that that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sleep when he was up the mountain. He had medrash members. When he was up the mountain, he couldn't sleep, he was with Rabbeinu Shalom, he couldn't bring himself to waste a moment. If we'd have that approach to Yom Kippur, it'd be a different feeling. Memela, one would realize that this is a chance, it's almost something that we've been looking forward to a whole year. We think of the well-known moshel of a person who's given a job and he's told to clean a huge hall, and it's dusty and it's dirty and he has nothing at his disposal, some fakrochna place, but a brush, a shovel and a carpet sweeper. And a U-bank, one of those little things you move along, it's mechanical, and it's meant to pick up the crumbs. Yeah, you think it's meant to pick up the crumbs, and you try, and they're gaped, and they're out, and he's there all day, and at the end of the day, he's covered a small corner, and it's not even clean. So he starts again tomorrow, and he tries a little harder, and brushes out, and more dust. He says to himself, this is going to take me a lifetime, this job. And then a friend comes running in, he says, you know what, and he's brought in a huge industrial hoover, and he says, I've got this for 24 hours. He would rush up and down, as fast as he could, wouldn't waste a moment, because this hoover will only last as long as you got it. A whole year, a person does tshuva. We get out some of the dirt, some of the dust, but Yom Kippur, the same tshuva has a much deeper effect. It goes much further into the nishmas ha'odom. It's misakin so much more. It cleanses a person in a way that isn't shaykh the rest of the year. We have to recognize the greatness of the opportunity. And the meila, we wouldn't come in unprepared if we'd recognize how important it is. We think of Yom Kippur in terms of the coming year. We know that every person has the gzadin signed on Yom Kippur. They many poskim. And it means that everything that happens through the coming year, the good things and the not such good things, are all dependent on how well we do Yom Kippur. So we feel that it's serious. And it's emes. But there's also another level to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur affects a person's neshama. If a person, rachman tzlan, has a chet, then that chet can be removed, Yom Kippur, in a way that it can't the rest of the year. Imagine a person way back, he's in the Muhammad Zeiten, he's trying to escape from Europe, and he's traveled over by boat to America, and he gets to the port, and he wants to enter, so you've got to have a medical examination, and they check him, and they say, I'm sorry, you've got an illness, and therefore we can't let you in. And he says, what do you mean, my whole family's here, were you going to let them in? And there's a big question, should he go back without them, should they come back with him? And there's bechius, and they're crying, it's a terrible matter, and the officials there, b'shum ponav ha'ofen, that's the law, you have this illness, we can't let you in. Imagine that, Agnes Nefesh. But how much more frustrating would it be if he's told that had you had the checkup as we told you back there, back home, had you gone to a doctor back home, you could have cured this illness. You could have come here without it. Now it's too late. Now you're stuck. Now we can't let you in. When the neshama of the person comes to Olam Haba and he's done the certain avirus, they can't let him in. And he says, oi, please, Rachel. There's nothing they can do. That's once one gets to Olam Haba, they don't let that person in. If you'd look back and realize that had I utilized my Yom Kippur, I could have cleansed this Avera for nothing, so easily. Had I just tuned into Yom Kippur, worked a little bit harder, and I could have cleaned my Neshama, that itself should be a motivation for us to take every moment of Yom Kippur and utilize it correctly. And utilizing correctly, L'chaira, doesn't just mean not sleeping Yom Kippur, not wasting time Yom Kippur. Right? We sleep at night, because we know otherwise we're going to sleep at night, sleep during the day. The Taknish can tell us. But there's more to it. The one has to come in with a plan. Imagine this fellow with brain cross. And he leaves it, and in the morning he says, oh, he gets up, and he's a bit late. And by the time he leaves Shacharis, by the time he gets there, it's 8 o'clock. And he comes in with his car, and he starts packing things. He comes out, opens the boot. It's full of stuff, and he calls his wife, says, come, Spritzer, come. Say, there's all this stuff, please take care of it. And he's running in and running out, starts taking things haphazardly. This is Shkema Halach. Has to make a cheshbon. Personally, a seichel would go through the stores beforehand, and he'd first of all mark down where the jewellery stores are, and where exactly the jewellery departments are, and then he comes in with a huge rucksack, and he's there at 7:30, and he walks in, and he empties the jewellery. And when he's finished with the jewellery, then he goes on to the next valuable thing. You want to get the most valuable stuff, otherwise you've wasted an opportunity. Spend the whole day, you know, carrying out shirts. Very nice, but it's not worth as much as the other opportunities one could have had. One must come in prepared. So when it comes to Yom Kippur, Avad, the person wants to misaken as many avirus as they can. But sometimes we feel that we're spoiled for choice. So many things to misaken, so many in Yonim that aren't the way that we really want them to be. And we're asked to make a cheshbon that one focuses on the ikrim, on those that are most yusedistik to achayim. If a person does what any mechanic would do, or anybody who comes to fix something, the first thing you see is, where's the problem? You find the leak. And we have to find the biggest leaks in our avodah, because everybody has leaks. There's areas where we're just not reaching our shleimus because of 1, 2, 3, 4 inyanim. There's always a few basics. And if the person takes the time and focuses on that, we can have a much more successful Yom Kippur. Because instead of some haphazard Kabbalah, Stam, I'm going to do whatever, leave out examples, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, which is very nice. But if the Kabbalah is something that's focused towards fixing a leak, then one ends up with a much more successful year. That really makes a change in a person's life. So one comes in focused, but I find that sometimes being too focused seems to create another problem. What happens? I find out the main problems. You know, and what are the main problems? Ultimately, it's off. I mean, most people find it's pretty much the same. Every year, I'm not learning enough. I'm not davening properly. I'm not sensitive enough for my family. I'm not careful, but not in the chaveri, maybe, with other people. And then, so that's 1, 2, 3 in Yonim. And then there's, you know, everybody has their choice, midas. 1 or 2 issues that are really important. One person finds it's anger, it's chaos. Another person finds it's atzlus, maybe laziness, just can't get himself to do things. A third person may find the opposite, that he's not got enough atzlus, he's too involved in making money. His money from morning to night is busy with the business. His mind never stops. Another problem, everybody has their bits and pieces. And you sing the Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is doch da alecht. Yom Kippur, there's a light. Yom Kippur, things are so clear. Yom Kippur, first person feels close to the Eibishter. And it's suddenly clear that this is all such a load of rubbish. What am I doing with my life? Is this where I want to be going? Is this what I want to be doing? How could I do such things? How could I think in such a way? Where's my... It's unbelievable. Somewhere over here in Kippur, we usually have his errors. This is just not good enough. But it's filled with the Gevaldi Charotta. And if one's focused on these areas, they think, oh, so this is what I've got to be misaken. And inevitably, a little voice comes, the voice of the Etara, and he says, ah, these four in Yonim. I like that. I remember these. This is what he says last year. And that's what he said the year before. Because this thing, what, so you're going to do tshuva again? And you're going to fool me again? You're going to say that just like last year, I said I'm never going to do it again. And I did. So what? Once one gets to those four nyanim, if I did tshuva on this 10 years ago, and 8 years ago, and 5 years ago, and 3 years ago, and last year, then obviously I'm not doing very well. If I still have to do tshuva again, my tshuva isn't working, and it takes away a person's cheshik and drive to actually do something about it, because I'm anyway not going to get there. Now, of course, a person knows that tshuva is effective, regardless of how perfect it is. The Mabit says that any mashu of tshuva is effective. He says it's not like tzitzis. A person wears a four-cornered garment, and he only puts tzitzis on 3 out of 4 corners, no mitzvah at all. If he puts it on 4 corners, but on the fourth one he doesn't have enough strings, he's also not yotzei, it's nothing at all. So the Mabit is not that way in tshuva. If you've got azivas achet, charota, and vidui, every single mashu counts. If you only have 1 out of 3, it also has effect. It also changes something. But we don't just want that. We want a real tshuva. We want the tshuva of the Rambam. And the Rambam says the tshuva is that a person accepts that he'll never, ever do it again. And yoid olav yudea talumos, the Rabbein Shalom can be made that he won't do it again. Vaita says the Mabit. Just because he did it again sometime in the future doesn't mean that it wasn't genuine in the past, and therefore it'll cleanse until that point. But sometimes a person feels it's not honest. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Now Yom Kippur, you ask me, would I get angry? The answer is no. No, nothing would make me angry at this point. Would I get angry? I know the revenge is Malay Kalaritz Kavode. No, I wouldn't get angry. And so I'm a Kabbal at that point. I'll never, never get angry. How long will it last? Some Kabbalists last till Hanukkah. That one, I'm not sure if we'll make it through Motzei Yom Kippur. You come home and the things are not the way they should be. How should things be? They should be the way I want them to be. Peshetach. And it's not the way I want them to be. And I lose. Maybe I won't scream. Sure, it's also something. But it's not what I wanted, Yom Kippur. I suspect the answer is, Bem Shri Bishra Salanta says this in his Igris, I think. But we'll focus more on a famous Imra, a famous statement, a famous saying from Israel Salanta. He would say that people think it's difficult to learn Shas. It is. But far more difficult than learning Shas is changing one mitzvah. As it was Israel said. So we've got two goals a person has in life, to learn Shas and to change a mitzvah. Let's take the first one. And imagine a person chaps that Yom Kippur. Stand Yom Kippur and he suddenly realizes, I'm getting older. I'm not going to be here forever. And after 120, every single yid gets a fair. It's not a joke. We come upstairs and the Rebbe says, no. So when did you learn? And it's going to be terribly embarrassing. Some people, they'll expect that they know Shas with Yishayim. Some people, Shas with Tosis. Maybe others, they'll only expect Shas Mishnayis. And it could be, somebody you couldn't, they'll expect only a few Masechtas. But there will be a fair. And let's say this person thinks, I need to know Shas Mishnayis. I can do that. And he's mekabel al atzmoi bekabola al mitis ugemura, a genuine Kabbalah, that from now on he's going to be careful, he's not going to waste a moment, and he's going to learn Shas Mishnayis. Was that genuine? Could be. Let's say it was 100% genuine. When he comes to next Yom Kippur, again, he realizes, what am I wasting so much time in the business? I've got to be more focused on learning. And then he says to himself, ach, geferlich! What a fopper! What a shakran, what a liar, what a crook I am. Last year I said to the Rebbein Shalom, I'm going to be dedicated to learning Shas Mishnayis. And he looks back and he's only finished Seder's Roy. Is that a problem with last year's Kabbalah? When you say, what a faker. What a faker, you said you're going to learn Shas Mishnayis and you didn't. Would you say there's a problem with that? Of course not. Because when he accepted to learn Shas Mishnayis, he didn't say he would do it in a year. Because it can't be achieved in 1 year. And if he was talking about Shas with Tosfos, it certainly can't be done in a year. He meant over the coming years, over 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I should be Zeichu Be'ezus Hashem, 50 years, however long it is, I'll try and do as much as I can to finish Shas. It's a long-term goal, and a long-term goal, by definition, must be split into pieces that are suitable for each year. So, if I didn't do anything about it last year, then you've got a time. But if I accepted to learn Shas, and over the last year I learned a Masechta, long Masechta, short Masechta, but I love Masechta's Kiddushin, and I take no Masechta's Kiddushin, I have nothing to do tshuva about. I can have the feeling of wanting to get further. I can have the realization there's another 19 volumes there and I've got to get through them. But I'm going to have charot, I'm going to do tshuva on not having reached my goal. There's a big difference between striving a sheifa toward being successful and then taking the piece that I can do this year and doing it successfully. Which means that on Yom Kippur we've got to split between the big goal, the grand picture, and looking at what can I succeed in this coming year and what should I have done last year. And if Yisrael tells us that that's true about Shas, and that breaking a middah is more difficult than learning Shas, then how long is it going to take me to get rid of my anger? It's not going to happen in a year. So I chapped last Yom Kippur that I shouldn't be angry, and now this Yom Kippur I chap again, I still get angry. So should I be surprised? Should I be frustrated? Rabbi Shalom, what did you expect when I say what I expected to get rid of in a year? Had I gone to Rabbi Yisrael Salant himself last year and said, Rebbe, what can I do about Kass? What would he have said? What would he have told me to do over the coming year? He would have given me some exercises to do, maybe a sefer to learn, and I would have tried, and what would have happened? I'd have been more successful. I would get angry a little less, maybe furiously, less frequently. But that's all we can expect. And if I have done the piece of last year, then I should be 100% happy with what I've achieved. And the charota and the aziva sachet can only be on the piece that I was meant to do last year. I picture this almost as a jigsaw. You know, you can buy, for your kids, you can buy a jigsaw without a picture. It comes with just the pieces, and then your child sticks the picture on top, and they've made their own jigsaw puzzles. Very exciting. And then with a knife, you cut it round. I think that's what we have to do every time we get a big sheaf for Yom Kippur. What happens is, it's Yom HaKadosh, and a Yid feels his neshama. The rest of the year, we're not quite in touch with our neshama. But on Yom Kippur, we have a neshama, and the neshama knows no bounds. A Yid's neshama, you're in touch with the little stiplins. Everyone has in us a little stipler, a little chaznish, a little satmareva. There's a neshama in there that knows no end when it comes to ruchnis. And when we see that Yom Kippur, we suddenly get an image of what we'd like to be like. You know, the Yid that I'd want to be. And that Yid is fantastic. It's a picture. A picture of what type of limud haTorah I would like. A picture of what my tefillahs should look like. A tefillah of what my brachas should be. A picture of a relationship with other people that is sensitive, that shows concern, that isn't just involved in myself. I'm not wrapped up in my own bubble. A whole different picture of what I want to be. And each one of those visions makes me feel, I wish I was there, which is gewaldig. As long as it's a hope, a drive, a shifa, an aspiration for the future, it's fantastic. But if I was to turn that into a charota, it would be a big mistake. Can I have charota for not being there? It was never in my hands. I didn't have the choice last year to do it. So I'm busy doing tshuva on that. My tshuva can only be to take that picture and stick it onto that jigsaw puzzle. And then cut it into pieces and ask myself, which piece or which pieces am I capable of being the Kabbalah for Tov Shinayin? And when I've got those pieces, that now is my Kabbalah Labo. That Lechir is the first shtickle of a realistic approach to Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yisrael says this. Rabbi Yisrael in his Mechtovim writes that a person should take every Avera and cut it up into bite-sized pieces. He cuts it this way, he cuts it that way. He's got interesting examples, but he talks about, Lamashal, his example is Limud HaTorah. A person knows he should be learning more. So, but he can't, you know, drop his job. That wouldn't be responsible. So most of the day is taken up. So what should he do tshuva for? One thing he could do tshuva for is Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner writes that a person should never take his mind off learning. So regardless of what else he's doing, he should also be thinking of learning at the same time. Now, everybody here knows themselves, and you can ask yourself whether that's your madrega, whether you're up to that, whether you're capable this year of thinking and learning a whole day and never being mesiach das from learning. Most people in Kodal are not capable of not taking their minds off learning all morning when they've got a Gemara open in front of them. You have to be on a madrega to do that. So it'd be strong, maybe that's too hard. And maybe even, you know, there's times that are too difficult for a person to take off. But there are always points in the day, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, where it isn't difficult. A person could be listening to tapes on the way home from work or something like that. If he's not doing that, that is the point that this person isn't being responsible to his Talmud Torah. That's the piece for this year. And so it'll be strong, he won't be punished, or certainly not as severely, for the other Bittul Torah, because maybe it's very difficult for him. Very difficult, bordering on impossible. But the part that is possible, the part that is easy, that we're expected to do. There's a lashon hara that is mamish, we're chalashing to say it, and it's mamish bubbling up inside me, it's out almost in the shadows where I can pull it back and hold it. It's a terrible nisayon. If chas v'shalom I fail there, there'll be a punishment, but it won't be so severe. That's not the ikkar of my children. But the lashon haras that just slip out for no reason. That's not difficult. That I can certainly stop myself doing. So that becomes this year's piece of the puzzle. In each Sheifa, as Yom Kippur, we realize where we should be, we ask, so now what can I do to get to that point? One breaks it up, it becomes possible. Another point that is very closely related to this, but I find very helpful when it comes to certain inyonim, is to recognize that the choice to do the Avera Chas V'Shalom or not to, often isn't at the time of the Avera. Let me explain what I mean. Sometimes look back at the situation and we're very, very upset about it. We're very disappointed. I shouldn't have done that. But the mice at the time, I wasn't really conscious of the Avera itself. Take Lashon Hara, sometimes happens. I look back and there is, I shouldn't have said that. At the time, I wasn't even aware that I was talking Lashon Hara. Can I do tshuva on that on speaking Lashon Hara then? Can I have charota? Charota that what? Charota that I chose to... I didn't choose. I didn't even realize I was doing it. How can you do tshuva on that? Take another example, which is more extreme. Shemoneh Esrei. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but it happens to... Well, I shouldn't say Averis Barabim, you said before. But let's say somebody who this happens to, and he finds himself doing Oseh Shalom. He knows that he's finished Shemoneh Esrei because he's three steps back and the pages open to Elikai and so. But the last thing he remembers was Hashem Lekechem Emes. So I don't know what happened during those few minutes, but Shemoneh Esrei got done. Now it's very sad. Now seriously, Mechuvah, that's very sad. Seriously, Mechuvah, you do it again because you don't do Seder Gela Kodesh. But certainly the rest of the year, you look back and you think, is that what I want my Shemoneh Esrei to look like? It's bizarre. So I'm going to say to myself, you know what? Next time, I'm going to what? I don't even know that I'm davening Shemoneh Esrei. I'm so spaced out, I don't even know anything's happening. So how can I do better next time? Does that make sense? Can I do tshuva on that? I didn't choose it. How can I do tshuva? Okay, even a worse example. A person chaps Yom Kippur, that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us Shabbos. Every week he gave us a Shabbos, 24 hours, where we're mufrish from Malacha, and we serve the Rebbeinu Shlom. But Shabbos is 39 Malachas, and there's many details, some derises, some drabonon. And chances are, if we don't know it, that things are going to go wrong. There was a Rebbe who used to give back his fahers when he had a new class of boys. He would give back the fahers privately. Each boy would hand in his faher, and he said, Yankele, you got 86, that means you're a 14% Amhorit. Berela, you got 74, that means you're a 26% Amhorit, and so on. That's how we give back the fares. Shake them up. And the kids know what he wanted, but it was all a build-up for their first halacha fair. They were learning after Shabbos. When he had hand out the fair, he said, Yankele, you got 86, that means you're a 14% Mechalel Shabbos. Verily, you got 74, you're a 26% Mechalel Shabbos. If we don't know Hilchus Shabbos, we don't keep it. I've never learned Hilchus Beirah, let's say. If I haven't learned Hilchus Beirah, then chances are every single Shabbos, I'm going to be Ovan Beirah. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say, I'm not going to do it again. You're not going to do what? That's the whole point. I don't know what Boira is. That's why I keep doing it. So how can I be mekabel not to? So how can one do tshuva on that? Well, Terence says, of course, that the Aveira that I've just identified stands here, put in front of you, and that's what you don't want to happen. But the point of contact with that Aveira is not when it's actually happening. If I want to avoid doing Boirer, I have to learn Hilchus Shabbos. So it's my kvius of Hilchus Shabbos that I need to fix up. If I don't want to speak Lashon Hara, I have to be learning Chofetz Chaim. And if I have any hope of being mechaven in Tefillah, it'll only happen if I spend time learning the Pirushim of Tefillah and Svarim of Tefillah. So the Charota focuses on where the Aveira happened. The Kabbalah Alabo, my acceptance, my Kabbalah, isn't on the Aveira itself, it's on the cause of the Aveira, on the roots of the Aveira. And this is something that is well worth investing in before Yom Kippur. And talk about preparing and knowing where the jewelry department is and having the right vehicle ready, so you don't come with a little car, you come with a big truck. That has to be done beforehand. A serious mitshuva, a person takes the time, half an hour, 2 hours, takes a pen and paper and writes down, what are the ikrim? Where are my biggest leaks? Where are things going wrong? And he finds, these are the inyonim that have got to be mekabel. This is the point of contact with that Aveira. There's no more frustration after such preparation. Because it comes to Yom Kippur, and a person realizes, I know what I've got to do. Every oshamru, every alchet, every bit of regret I feel for what I've done in the past, every frustration that is aroused for the fact that I'm not the way I believe a yid should be, there's an answer. I'm going to be mekabel A, B, C, D, and that's the pieces I'm going to work on this year. And a person comes this year, that comes next year, or the year after, and says, I'm still working on Kass. I'm still trying to become a masmid. I still am trying to daven properly. I still want to become sensitive to other people. Of course. Yeah. But look at last year. The puzzle is slowly coming together. It's maybe 2 out of 20, 2 out of 50, and even some 500-piece puzzles. But I'm on the way to achieving the greatness that I want to achieve. When a person does that, it takes out the frustration and the yush of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we must remember one last thing, which is the Moshel Chofetz Chaim tells of a person who ran a business, and he wasn't that good at it, he wasn't that responsible, and he comes to his supplier each time, and slowly he's falling into debt, and he owes money, and the fellow says, look, I can't give you credit anymore. He says, I know you want to buy schir for a whole year, but I say, I can't give you schir. This is the last time you didn't pay, the time before you didn't pay. And he begs him, Rachmanus, please. And the Balabas says, okay. And then the Balabas goes to the back, and his workers or his partners, they say, Vishnu, you can't give this guy credit. You gave him credit last year, and it wasn't successful. He didn't pay you. He's just going to owe you more and more money. You can't, it doesn't make sense. And he realizes that the Balabas just can't do it. You can't. They're right. He feels terrible. And somebody walks into the store at the same time, and he says, what's happened? And he tells him, you know, I've got this terrible situation. The Balabas won't give me credit. He wants to, but they won't let him. And the fellow commiserates. He empathizes, he sympathizes. Never attack a very difficult matzav. You need your schoira, you can't get it. And then he notices this fellow's tefillin. He's holding his tefillin with him. And the name on the tefillin, the surname, is the same as the owner of the shop. He says, are you related? He says, am I related? He's my father. He's my father. That's why I'm here. He called me up and he said I should come. What does he say to him? Shaita shabo ilom. Don't be such a fool. If it's your own father who runs the business and he told you to come, then make him an offer. He'll accept something. He's not going to refuse you. He was the one who told you to come here. So he won't give you the way you want it. So offer something. Do your best. And there's no shame if your father invites you. He'll sicher take your best. That's what he wants. He asked you to come. Rabbi Yehuda says that in Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. So Rabbi Yehuda has invited us and said, do tshuva. If we do our best, if we do our maximum, we offer the Rabbi Yehuda what we can do, the pieces that we are capable this year, and there's no shaila, the Rabbi Yehuda is Avarachman, Avarachimim, will no doubt accept our tshuva. And Moshe B'Zeche B'Zchuseh to Shana of Brocha, Yeshua, B'Zchuseh, Nechamas, and Alagut Zechah.